I mentioned, perhaps I said it from a sense of surprise of my own. It's the second Sunday of Advent. Christmas is on its way. And in this morning's gospel lesson, we read about someone who's telling us to prepare the way. Prepare the way. And when I was a kid and I heard those words, every valley shall be filled, every mountain shall be made low, the crooked paths made straight. That's a lot of work, right? And for those of us who build things up, those of us who dig stuff into the ground, having someone come back and fill that in or knock it down, kind of upsetting. There's a lot going on there. And as I get older and I think about this more, and every time Advent comes and I think about preparing for God coming, you know, God really is among us. But this is the time of year when we really set our hearts on God's presence with us, on Jesus with us, Emmanuel, God with us. And what does that mean? You know, we light two candles on the Advent wreath. Last week, that candle represented hope. And today, the second candle represents peace. Well, if we're leveling mountains and filling valleys, that doesn't sound too peaceful either. It sounds like there's a lot of work going on. So where is that peace? What does that peace mean? And I think part of what we need to think about with regard to peace is something we all have heard about, something we talk about, something we actually say we have done, and yet maybe a lot harder than really talking about, and that is forgiveness. Forgiveness, I think, causes a lot of chaos in our own hearts. And when we don't, when we're unable to forgive, when we have trouble forgiving, when something's not quite right in our relationships with other people, we may not recognize that what's missing is forgiveness. And this may be something that we have a hard time giving, maybe because it's something we have a hard time accepting for ourselves. We may have difficulty forgiving someone else only because it's hard for us to accept the forgiveness that's being so freely given to us. This idea of peace, this idea of leveling the playing field, really, making everything easy. You know, when we set up for someone's arrival, we do. We neaten up, we clean stuff up, we try to make the area look more inviting, we put in more seats, we make it easy for people to come in when we know we're having an arrival at the house. And we want everything to, we don't want any barriers, right? We don't block the door, we don't keep the front door locked, we don't block the driveway. We make sure everything's out and ready to go so that that person, those people, can come. This is what we do. And so we're preparing the way for the Lord. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain shall be leveled, every crooked way made straight, so that when he comes, there's no impediment. When we worship in liturgy, we have something called the peace. And in some parishes, the peace goes on for a long time. People want to say hello and say hi, how are you, to everybody in every pew. And that's a delightful thing to want, because we love to be together. We love to see each other and we want to say hello. But the idea of the peace actually comes from Scripture in Matthew, where we are told that before you make an offering at the temple, if there is anything between you and your brother, well, and now, because it's 2021, between you and another person, leave what you're going to give and go and make things right with that person before you make your offering. Why? Because when we come to the altar and we've got the baggage of un- given forgiveness. There's something separating us from the God that we hope to meet there. We need to let those things go. How can we approach the table expecting to meet Jesus if we've got this hardship of a lack of forgiveness hanging over us? And so we're asked to leave that offering, whatever we think is so awesome that we're going to bring to the altar, leave it there and go back. Make things right first, and then come back and give your offering. That's hard to do. It's very easy to say, and it's very hard to do. But when we expect Jesus, and when we want him to come, we want nothing between us and him. And trust and believe, he meets us where we are. We can run to him as fast as we want, but he's also coming toward us. He's meeting us where we are. And we want that full experience. We want that full relationship with him. Nothing impeding us. And imagine what kind of peace you can have if you let go of that burden as you prepare to meet your Redeemer, as you prepare to meet the Prince of Peace, as we hope to invite him into our hearts and into our lives for a new beginning. Advent is a time when we can think about starting again. We get this all the time. You know, you get New Year's, it's a new beginning. And then after Easter, the start of like the summer season, Memorial Day, oh, it's a new beginning, I'm going to do something new. And then at the end of the summer, Labor Day comes and the school year starts and, oh, it's a new thing. And then in liturgy, the new year liturgically starts the beginning of Advent. It's a new year. We have lots of opportunities to start over. So it's not always a one and done. But this is a time where we can step back. There's so much going on, so much preparation. We're so busy. And we've got big lists, things to do, stuff we got to buy, people we have to welcome, ways that we have to prepare. There's a lot of chaos going on. And if we're trying to do all that stuff, and we're harboring something in there in our hearts that maybe just isn't right, maybe there's something unsaid that needs to be said, to ask forgiveness of someone, go ahead and do it. This is the time to think about that. You know, we have been forgiven. We've been forgiven already. And it can be hard to believe. But when we accept that forgiveness, then being able to offer forgiveness to someone else becomes possible. How do we accept that forgiveness? We have to read the Word of God and trust in its truth. Trust in the truth that Jesus comes to save us, that we are forgiven. There's nothing you've done that's bigger than God's forgiveness for you. Nothing. And that sometimes is hard to believe. Sometimes we sit down and think to ourselves, oh, but you don't know what I've done. I've said that. I've said that about things that I've done. I think, oh, but you don't know what I've done. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yet, there's nothing I've done that isn't too big for God to forgive. And there's nothing you've done that's so big that God would ever turn his back on you. Lay it at his feet. Lay it at the feet of the baby Jesus. Lay it there. And offer it to him. And trust the word of God. Trust that he has come to forgive you and to redeem you. And with that burden lifted, with that debt paid, we can then be free to love other people. I was raised in the Presbyterian Church. Some of you may be familiar with that tradition. When we said the Lord's Prayer growing up, we never talked about trespasses. Trespasses and trespassing was something we had on hunting signs posted on our trees in the woods. We talked about forgiveness in terms of debt and payment. forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. This idea of owing. And so there's some theological bogginess there that I don't really want to get into. The idea of trespass and our trespasses, that's a tradition that we have here in the Episcopal liturgy, and it's perfectly fine. But coming from that tradition of thinking of forgiveness and repaying, in a sense, there's something there. Jesus has come to pay that debt for us. He pays our debts. There's a lot we can do. There's a lot we can do to repair relationships. There's a lot that we can do to forgive other people. But Jesus pays our debt for us, and we have to trust that. Dina reminded folks this morning, and I would remind you as well, that the idea of forgiveness is something that only requires your action. You don't have to tell somebody you have forgiven them. You can forgive people who are no longer living. It's between you and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, I believe, really does the heavy lifting. But we can be part of that action. Forgiveness is within you. And you have that power. We don't have the power to make other people do stuff. Sometimes we act like we do, but we really don't. We don't have the power to make anybody do anything else. So the idea of reconciliation does require more than one person. So we can adopt a persona of forgiveness, and we can make ourselves welcome to others to join in for acts of reconciliation. But reconciliation is more than one person doing something. And not only that, but reconciliation, the root of that word comes from cilia. I just learned this morning from Dina. And she says that that root relates to your eyelashes. That you are so close to someone that your eyelashes could touch. As an introvert, that makes me super nervous. But it doesn't have to be a physical closeness, but it can be a coming to terms with, a meeting between folks. Reconciliation means embracing someone, right? To get that close, you would have to embrace them. And so this idea of forgiveness and reconciliation is very important in this time of Advent as we await the coming of our Savior. We don't want any barriers between him and us. And so why would we allow barriers between ourselves and others, the people that we share a community with, and people that we would think are outside of our community? They're really not. So I would offer an opportunity for you this Advent to prayerfully consider just one thing. You don't have to do it all. Just think of one thing where you could work on forgiveness and prayerfully approach that. Sit with Scripture, sit in prayer, and if you do have difficulty with that or if you want some guidance, I can tell you that Dina would be very happy to speak with you. If you want to reach out to her with any assistance for that, she would be very open to that. But this idea of forgiveness is very important if we're going to welcome the Prince of Peace. So, my friends, I offer this to you. And maybe that forgiveness starts with something in your own heart, something that you just need to forgive yourself for. That may be just as necessary. I offer this to you as a way to open your hearts to the coming of Christ, to the coming of Jesus, of God with us. And we can work together to do this as a community of love.
Amen. Amen. Amen.